I remember when Jeanette and I were first married, we were 18, scared to death. And I remember, I guess just this comes to my mind because of the video that we just watched, but we were too scared not to give. We were so reliant, we felt, on God that we were like, Lord, this is one place that we can't go wrong. We have to make sure that we are relying on you. And I pray that the Lord never takes that, I guess, fear and trembling of going out on our own away. I mean, that's a healthy thing, amen? To know that we're so dependent on him that if we go out on our own, we'll surely fail. If you have your Bibles this morning, turn with me to 1 Peter chapter 4, beginning with verse 10. We're coming in for a landing. This is the third and final in our series, our spiritual identity, our true identity. It wasn't long after Jeanette and I started on our life together that it was several months later that God gave me this verse that I'm going to share with you this morning. We've worked through the first couple phrases of this verse, and we're coming in on the last phrase this morning. Each one should use whatever gift he has received to serve others, faithfully administering God's grace in its various forms. This morning, we're going to look at the last part of that verse, to be faithful administrators of God's grace in its various forms. It's an interesting verse, isn't it? I've spent nearly 25 years now trying to understand and unpack that verse, and it just keeps giving new life every time I look at it. We have spent the last couple weeks delving into our identity, recognizing that God has gifted each and every one of us particularly and uniquely. We all have a spiritual gift mix that makes us unique in our identity in regards to our function and membership in the body of Christ. You fulfill a role that I will not fulfill, or I'm not very good at. If one of you is missing as part of the body, someone else has to step in and try to perform the role that you would do if you were here. And it's the same way when I'm gone. For instance, Bill's going to step right in, and it's just going to be like, you know, when you put your hand in the water and then you take the hand out, the water just comes in. And so as we're all faithful, it's a beautiful thing that we can participate in the body. But hey, the Lord's work is not dependent on any one of us. Amen? And it's a beautiful thing to recognize that I can freely participate in it and enjoy it and find fulfillment in it. But how devastating it is and how heartbreaking and miserable it is when I'm apart from the body. It's kind of like I lose connection. I forget what it is I'm supposed to do. I'm not getting instructions from the head, who is Christ, and I'm just kind of out there on my own, and it's a painful place to be. I've experimented with that a little bit. Even after I became a Christian, there were times that I'm sure all of us can relate to that we try to do things on our own, and we find apart from the body, it's a painful process. It's a learning. It's a time of real where the learning curve is pretty steep. I got to get back where I'm supposed to be. So today we're going to focus on grace and being administrators of God's grace. If that scares you a little bit, join the club. When I think of me being an administrator of God's grace, it's a little bit frightening, because it would be like Goldman and Sachs calling me up and saying, John, I've got a job for you. And I'd be like, what? I've got a job for you, John. I want you to come and take the chief financial officer position of Goldman and Sachs. And I know you don't have a lot of experience managing finances, but just so you know, you have about $200 billion to manage. And if you can start Monday, that'd be great. You see, that's kind of how I feel when this verse, when Peter steps in and he says, each one of you should use whatever gift he has received to serve others, faithfully administrating God's grace in its various forms, when I recognize the fact that each one of us is an administrator of God's grace, I'm just like blown away. I'm like, how in the world would I ever be worthy to be an administrator of His grace, to administer His grace? It's so out of my league. I'm so unqualified. I'm so unprepared. I'm so not able to do that. Well, maybe we are by His grace. We're going to talk more about that. During a British conference on world religions, experts from around the world debated what, if any, belief was unique to the Christian faith. They began eliminating possibilities. Incarnation? No, other religions had different versions of God's appearing in human form. Resurrection? Not even resurrection. There were other religions that had accounts of people returning from the dead. The debate went on and for some time until C.S. Lewis wandered into the room and he said, "What's all the rumpus about?" And he heard in reply that his colleagues were discussing Christianity's unique contribution among world religions. Lewis responded, "Oh, that's easy. It's grace." After some discussion, the conferees had to agree that this notion of God's love coming to us free of charge, no strings attached, seems to go against every instinct of humanity. The Buddhist Eightfold Path, the Hindu doctrine of karma, the Jewish covenant, and the Muslim code of law, each of these offers a way for humans to earn the approval of God. Only Christianity makes God's love unconditional. Aware of our inbuilt resistance to grace, Jesus talked about it often. He described a world suffused with God's grace, where the sun shines on people, whether they're good or bad, where the rain falls on people who are good or bad. Like a visitor from a foreign country who notices what the natives overlook, Jesus saw grace and pointed it out everywhere. Yet he never analyzed or defined it, and almost never used the word. Instead, he communicated grace through the actions that he had with people. You see, grace is our answer. Grace is our salvation to us, the problem of us not being good enough. Peter prepares the church to do the work of Jesus after Jesus has ascended into heaven. And there's an urgency that we sense in 1 Peter. They all believed that Jesus was coming back before they died. It wouldn't hurt for us to live like that, amen? It wouldn't hurt for us to think about the fact that Jesus may return before we leave here today. We'd want to keep our minds on what's being said here this morning because it has everything to do with where our heart is, amen? So living in that awareness that Jesus can come back anytime is a biblical place for us to live. That's why we want to pay attention to what's going on when the Word of God is being spoken. Peter prepares the church. He says, "The end of all things is near, therefore be mindful and be prayerful." And Jesus, of course, leaves us. "Preach the gospel to every creature, baptizing them in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, and I will be with you, even to the very end of the age." Jesus said it. He didn't say it at the end of the Gospel of Matthew, but he said it earlier, and he was echoing words from the Old Testament. He was telling those disciples, when he sent them the first time out, the first 12 out, he said, "As you have been given, now freely give. As you have been given, now you freely give." I want you to think about this morning taking your gift seriously. And if you have not yet taken your spiritual gift survey, there is a piece of paper back there on the table, and I think it's in your bulletin, a website that you can go to that will help you determine what your spiritual gifts are. And if you consider it optional, I want you to do a head and a heart check this morning. Because your grace, your gift, is God's grace to someone else. I didn't make that up. Your gift administered into the lives of others is so important that all of us as Christians would have to really think about who do we think that we are to withhold God's grace from anybody. Amen? So living in my right mind, living in the right heart of Jesus Christ, I acknowledge the importance of my gift, that as I live out my gift, I am administrating the grace of God into the lives of others. Woo! If that blows your mind, you're right there with me. So your gift, God uses to administer His grace. Everybody okay with that? Does anybody in here feel unqualified? Some of you, that's all of us, isn't it? Faithfully, I want to welcome those who joined us online this morning. So good to have you. I want you to know that our connection this morning online is by prayer and a bunch of rushing around and wondering what in the world happened, because I guess we were offline for a little while this morning, so we're back on now. Praise God. Amen? Good. So welcome, you who are joining us from Florida, Colorado, that I'm aware of this morning. Faithfully administering God's grace in its various forms. How many of you have been to the doctor lately? Got one of them rounds of antibiotics. The doctor said, you've got to take every one of these pills at the time that you're supposed to take it. Now, you can't skip any, because if you skip any, the whole thing is going to be undone. The whole course of treatment is going to be side-railed. You've got to take the medication as it's prescribed, otherwise it's not going to work. Now, who do we think we are? Amen. To say, well, I'm going to show up on my terms, and I'm going to do it my way. When God says each one of us should use whatever grace He's received, whatever gift God's given you, to faithfully administer. That means that each of us have a role in the body that requires faithfulness. Amen. Our faithful administration of His grace. We can be faithful. I've got an acronym I made this week. I gave it to Brad to see. I haven't looked how Brad translated this onto the screen, but I'm sure it's going to be great. If you have your Bibles, turn to 2 Corinthians 9, 7 through 9. Last men's group and polo yesterday morning, this is the scripture that we were in. And it has to do with the grace of giving, but also God's grace. Let me read. First of all, the G. We're going to look at five letters, G-R-A-C-E. First one is the grace of giving. So G is for giving. Okay, if you have a mental, want to make a mental note of that, G is for giving, or write it down in the notes section of your bulletin. G, giving. 2 Corinthians 9, 7 through 9, each man should give what he has decided in his heart to give, not reluctantly or under compulsion. For God loves a cheerful giver. Now, before we limit this to I put my tithe in the plate this morning so I can check out right now? Don't. Because this has to do with how we live our lives way beyond our checkbook. Amen? Each man should give what he has decided in his heart to give, not reluctantly or under compulsion, for God loves a cheerful giver. And God is able to make all grace abound to you, so that in all things, at all times, having all that you need, you will abound in every good work. As it is written, he has scattered abroad his gifts to the poor, his righteousness endures forever. Part of the role of the body is to be a cheerful administrator, a cheerful giver of his grace. Of course, finances is part of that, and our brains kind of automatically migrate to that. But it's much bigger than that. It's generously giving of our time. It's generously giving of our energy. It's generously giving of our emotions in the way that Jesus would. Amen? The next one is reliability. R is for reliability in your GRACE acronym this morning. First, the giving, and then R for reliability. So we're at GRR right now. Okay? Reliability. 2 Corinthians 9:12. This service that you perform is not only supplying the needs of God's people, but is also overflowing in many expressions of thanks to God. Reliability. I know this is kind of like preaching to the choir. I'm really glad you're here. And I'm really glad that, I mean, take for instance our tech team back there. They show up every Sunday and make sure the signal goes out. Mike makes sure the signal goes up to the website. I can't tell you how beautiful that is when people ask me, is there a way I can get a copy of that message or such and such I feel would really benefit from that? How can I get that? And I'll say it's already there on the website. Before most of us leave here this morning, Mike will have already put that up there. He's faithful as a clock. Yeah. Now we could go on right down the line. Brad's faithful as a clock. Mark's faithful as a clock. They're doing different functions within the body. Now there was that one time back when we were meeting at the theater. You all remember that? Brad pulled a quick one on me. Everybody came and set up, and I strolled in about 8 o'clock. And they had hidden all their vehicles. And I don't know why, but I had this conversation with them about, you know, 6 weeks prior. I said, now, you know, we got a team here. We can get this done, but I need to come a little later for a little while and just let the team do it. So they all got together. I think Brad was the instigator. I pulled up into the Plaza Cinema and there was nothing there. I mean, cricket, cricket, cricket. The door might have even been locked. I don't know. I don't remember. But I got in the cinema thinking, nobody's reliable anymore. I can't count on anybody anymore. And oh, how they had a good belly laugh when I walked in and everything was set up ready to go. 8 o'clock. Praise the Lord. That's reliability. That's the body in motion. The service that you perform is not only supplying the needs of God's people, but is also overflowing in many expressions of thanks. Next is availability. Availability. 2 Corinthians 9:6. Remember this, whoever sows sparingly will also reap sparingly. And whoever sows generously will also reap generously. Now, the Apostle Paul is talking to the Corinthian church, and he's saying, now, I want each of you to set aside a sum of money in keeping with your income every week so that when I come, nobody will be caught flat-footed, because I'm going to receive an offering. I'm going to take it back to Jerusalem so that we can minister to the saints there. We can minister to the widows and the orphans, so that we can be a vital part of the body in taking care of the needs of the church. Now, there were probably a few there in Corinth who struggled with that. There are in every church. There are a few in the church who will say, but I have more need than they do. And I understand that logically that may make sense, but that's not how Christ teaches us to live. Everybody okay? You see, Christ and the Apostle Paul and Peter teaches us that this is a heart issue. It's not a money issue. Amen? Cricket, cricket, cricket. I'm a little nervous here. Amen?
Amen.
Okay, let's keep on rolling. And if I limit God to what's in my checkbook, God says, I really can't work with that. Everybody okay?
Are you okay?
I'm okay. Thank you. I am breaking out in a bit of a sweat up here. Okay, remember this. The apostle says, whoever sows sparingly will also reap sparingly, and whoever sows generously will also reap generously. So let's just do this thing. Amen? Give generously. C is confession. Gray. Confession. 2 Corinthians 9:13. Let's visit this again. Because of the service by which you've proved yourselves, this consistency, this reliability, this, hey, the district superintendent, Jeanette and I had a wonderful lunch with him last Sunday afternoon. It was wonderful. And we're part of a team that's getting the work done. Church of the Nazarene has 740 missionaries around the world. And 5.5 or 6% of every dollar that you give goes to support our missionaries. But you know, the first thing that we do, and Pam will testify to this, the first thing that we send off is that. Nothing else gets paid for before the church tithe goes in the mail. Now we send it online these days. And there's some other ministries that we support in regards to about 15% of everything that comes in. 10% is our church tithe. Another 5% we consider our church offering. We just give that away. It's that kind of reliability and systematic giving that has enabled the Church of the Nazarene to grow from just a small group in California 125 years ago to nearly 3 million members today. And you know what? That works on the local level too. Amen? It says, I recognize that there's not a piece in a clock that can go without doing its job, and the clock still work. Amen? Everybody does their part. Because of the service by which you've proved yourselves, men will praise God. They're not going to praise you. They don't even... The Hollenbergs, who are ministering in a country that I cannot name this morning, they're members in the Church of the Nazarene. They're in a high-risk area. They're not even... We can't even say where they're at. They're there because of your faithfulness. Because of the service by which you've proved yourselves, men will praise God for the obedience that accompanies your confession. Our confession in Christ is more than a membership piece of paper. This means something. Amen. And it's followed up with action. And for your generosity in sharing with them and with everyone else. And E, engagement, grace, giving, reliability, availability, confession, and engagement. 2 Corinthians 9:14 and 15. And in their prayers for you, their hearts will go out to you because of the surpassing grace God has given you. Thanks be to God for his indescribable gift. And the Corinthians, who didn't quite have their brains around what he was saying, was saying, well, wait a minute, we're the ones giving. Paul's going to take an offering, and we got to give, and we got to systematically prepare. And Paul's like, oh, people, get your head in the game. God's the one who poured out his indescribable gift on us. We're just lovingly responding. Amen. Yes. Administering healing medicine faithfully. I want to close with a scripture, John 8, 1 through 11. Jesus went to the Mount of Olives. At dawn, he appeared again at the temple courts where all the people were gathered around him, and he sat down to teach them. The teachers of the law and the Pharisees brought a woman caught in adultery, and they made her stand before the group and said to Jesus, "Teacher, this woman is caught in the act of adultery. In the law of Moses, commanded us to stone such women, but now what do you say?" And they were using this question as a trap in order to have a basis for accusing him. But Jesus bent down and started to write on the ground with his finger. When they kept on questioning him, he straightened up and said to them, "If any of you is without sin, let him cast the first stone." Again, he stooped down and wrote on the ground. At this, those who heard began to go away one at a time, the older ones first, until only Jesus was left with the woman still standing there. Jesus straightened up and asked her, "Woman, where are they? Has no one condemned you?" "No one, sir," she said. "Then neither do I condemn you," Jesus declared. "Now go and leave your life of sin." The greatest message that Jesus ever preached, he didn't mention grace, but he demonstrated it by freely giving what this woman had never experienced in her life. Maybe a little ways back for you that you can't see this, but those are obviously rocks around the edge, and Jesus doodling in the dust there in the center. The greatest sermon that Jesus ever preached, that he ever wrote, had to do with grace. Each of us have been in need of grace. There's three characters in this story. There's the woman in need of God's grace. There's the teachers of the law and the Pharisees. They're in need of God's grace, correction, and direction. And then there's Jesus, who is the giver of grace. Grace for the past, he extends to her. He says, "Neither do I condemn you, then go." And grace for the future. Go and leave your life of sin. Empowerment. Cleansed. Ephesians 2:8. Let's read this together. "For it is by grace you have been saved through faith, and this not from yourselves. It is the gift of God." Matthew 10:7-8. Jesus says, "As you go, preach this message. The kingdom of heaven is near. Heal the sick. Raise the dead. Cleanse those who have leprosy. Drive out demons. Freely you've received. Freely give. Jesus sends us out too to administer his grace faithfully in its various forms. Yoetta Ratliff was one of my Sunday school teachers. You don't know her, but I will be eternally grateful for the time that she invested in several of us young teenage boys, because she brought the Bible to life. And she was administering faithfully the grace that she had been given through her gifts as a teacher into my life. She showed up when I didn't, physically and mentally. She was there doing what was necessary to make sure that was anything that was in her power, that I would make sure I knew that God loved me and Jesus gave his life for me. I could go on and on of the people who have administered their gifts faithfully in my life. Names that wouldn't mean much to you, probably. Pastor Vincent, Pastor Meeks, Pastor Hatton. Just church greeters over the years who've met me at the door and welcomed me. Givers who just have the gift of giving and show up when, and they have a keen sense of awareness that there's a need and God's given them the ability to meet that need, and they just show up and do it. Administrators, those who help. Dick's not here to take a spiritual gift survey, but you know what? I think he had the gift of helps. I really do. Because anytime we needed help, Dick was present, faithfully administrating God's grace in its various forms. Rob, would you come and help us prepare? I'd like to ask our ushers to begin to distribute the elements of communion this morning. Rob, if you would just lead us in, freely, freely you have received, freely, freely give. I want to invite you to participate in the body this morning. Church of the Nazarene recognizes communion as a sacrament. Actually referred to as a means of grace. I don't think we take that too far. Because don't you remember Jesus called the disciples together and he shared with them as he broke the bread. He said, "This is my body broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me." I can't explain what happens as we participate in the body. It's probably because it's above my pay grade. Thank you. But there's a mystery that happens much like when a husband and wife come together. In fact, the Bible uses the illustration of marriage to try to communicate to us what's happening here right now. As we participate in the body, we are re-engaged. We are brought in. We are gracefully forgiven. We are empowered. Said as he broke the bread, "This is my body broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me." Let's receive together. After he had eaten, he took the cup. When he had blessed it, he turned to his disciples and he said, "This is my blood given for you. Sure, the disciples struggled to understand it just like we do. But this is a symbol that Jesus gave everything. He gave freely. And as we receive, just like the woman who was caught in her sin, we receive forgiveness because Jesus freely. Let's participate in his body faithfully, administrating grace of God. Let's receive. Let's sing that freely, freely you. We have received freely, freely give. Start from the top. Shall we stand? God forgave my sin in Jesus' name. I've been born again in Jesus' name. And in Jesus' name I come to you to share his love. As he told me to, and freely, freely you have received, freely, freely give. Go in my name, and because you believe, others will know that I live. Yes, amen. I'd like to invite our worship team to come on up this morning. Isn't God good? If you've been blessed this morning, join with me in saying amen.
Amen.
It's always good to be mindful of what God has given us. I can remember after cleaning my room and putting all my toys away, a sense of how much I had. And as a church, we need to do that once in a while, don't we? Be reminded of all that we have been blessed with. Nothing will change if all the plans I make go wrong. Your love stays the same. Your light will guide me through it all. I'm begging you. I'm leaning into you. Nothing can reach the end of all your faithfulness. Your grace is every shadow, every test I'm making, I'm leaning into you. I don't know where you'll take me, but I know you're always good. My hope is filled.
Grace and peace be yours in abundance through the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord. Thank you guys for coming. You are dismissed.
My hope is built on nothing less than your great love. Trust your